Good morning. I know, where is my bag? This is a part of the, if you're not familiar, this is the part where we have a lot of the children, fifth grade and under, that if they want to come forward, we do a children's moment, and then we take them back to junior church, where afterwards you can pick them up back here in the hall. If you want a day off, I'm sorry, we don't keep them, okay? After church, we re-release them to the wild, so please come pick up your children afterwards. we have anybody that wants to come forward this morning for a little bit? Somebody? Okay. I didn't bring my bag this morning because I didn't need it. I brought everything I need. Have you ever played paper, rock, scissors with yourself? Yeah, with yourself? Right? Paper, rock, scissors, shoot. Yeah, I win about 50% of the time when I play with myself. Paper, rock, scissors, can't play that by yourself, can you? No. Thumb war. You ever done the thumb war when you were a kid growing up? You guys play the thumb war? Yeah, you ever try to play with yourself? Doesn't match up, does it? Yeah, it doesn't work. Okay. Sam's got a way. He can play. Yeah, is that what you do at home? When you're bored, you play your own thumb war. There's certain things, these are simple things, but there are certain things in life that we can't do by ourselves. There are a lot of things that we can't do by ourselves in life. And one of those is being born. Right? That's nothing. We have no control over that one. There are a lot of things in the Bible. In the very first chapter, when God is making everything, he says it's good, and it's very good. In the second chapter, we have God, a second creation story. God's making everything, and he makes Adam in the second chapter, and he says he's going to make them in his image, and he makes Adam, and he has Adam going through naming animals. He has Adam doing stuff, and then he goes, you know what? It's not good for him to be alone. You know, it's not going to be good for Adam to be alone. And so he comes along, right? And what does he do? Does he make a dog for Adam? Oh, dog's already here. Does he make a best friend? He makes another dude, right? He's like, hey, here's your best friend, man. You guys are going to rock. Nope. He makes a woman. He makes the first woman, the first mom, the first wife. That's what he needed, right? That's what he needed. So he wasn't sitting around trying to play thumb war with himself. He needed a mom. He needed a wife. And that is pretty telling. Because he didn't need someone just like him. He was going to make him into a better man. And not everybody has a good mom. Not everybody's had a good mom. Moms aren't perfect if they're anything like dads, right? You know, we know our parents aren't perfect as much as we want them to be. Not everybody has a good mom. Not everybody's celebrating today because they've had a hard time. But we all have mom figures, right? Because moms are moms. Grandmas are moms. Great-grandmas are moms, aunts are moms, and we look for that, we yearn for that, we desire that. So as today, we can celebrate moms, we can also spend time thanking God that he didn't leave Adam by himself. He didn't make another guy for Adam, but he made a mom. And we could thank God for that, right? All right, and we're going to head back to junior church, and the rest of you guys follow this way.
It's good to see everybody here this morning. We've got some here who hadn't been here for a while. Certainly glad to have all of you here with us today. Today, of course, is Mother's Day. And there are a lot of great moms out there. A lot of great moms. Many young mothers will tell you that they had such a good role model in their mom. And the Apostle Paul, again, in 2 Corinthians, or probably 2 Timothy 1, verse 5, attributed Timothy's sincere faith to not only his mother, but also his grandmother. Undoubtedly, Eunice learned how to be a great mom by the way that her mom, Lois, reared her. And there are wonderful mothers out there and have been amazing role models and mentors to not only their own daughters, but to many, many, many young women. And by observing these mothers, many young moms have learned how to be a loving, caring mother to their own children. They have learned how to listen instead of just scolding their children. They have learned how to be more understanding instead of being judgmental. They have learned how to be more encouraging instead of being critical all the time. And we are deeply grateful for being a godly example before others. And so what we want to do this morning, we want to recognize you in a special way. I know that many of you already received gifts as you came to the front door, but I'd like to have all of our moms to stand where you are, please. If you will, please just stand where you are. All of our moms, our stepmoms, and we just want to praise you. Thank you so much. We appreciate you so very much. Thank you. You can go ahead and be seated. Now, for today's lesson, let's turn our focus to Eve, the first woman, the first wife, and the first mom. So what I want you to do, I want you to open your Bibles to the very beginning, okay? Open your Bibles to the very beginning, to Genesis chapter 3, where we're going to start here. Genesis chapter 3, we're going to focus in chapters 2 through 4 today. Genesis chapter 3, verse 20 says this: Adam named his wife Eve because she would become the mother of all the living, the first mom. But can you imagine what it would be like to be the first mom? What would that be like? I mean, can you imagine that? I mean, who can you talk to about what to expect when giving birth? Somebody who's already been there could tell you exactly what it's like. And we husbands can pretend that we know what it's like, but we are clueless, okay? We are clueless. And no one was more clueless than Adam. I want you to think about this for a moment. Adam knew that God told Eve that because of her disobedience, that he would greatly increase her pain in childbirth. But when he saw his firstborn son being born, wow. He probably was thinking, man, working in the fields by the sweat of my brow is nothing. I'll take that hard labor any day over this kind of labor, right? Because Adam looks at this and thinking, wow. And ladies, she did all that without drugs, okay? All that without drugs. But Eve didn't have a mom who had already been through this and could prepare her for what was to come. And later when Cain, started acting up and picking on his little brother Abel, Eve didn't have a mom that she could talk to about child behavior and which discipline, works best. Over the years, I have preached on many mothers in the Bible over the years. I have preached on Jochebed, the mother of Joseph, probably the mother of Moses. I have preached on Hannah, the mother of Samuel, Lois and Eunice, the grandmother and mother of Timothy. And I've also preached on Mary, the mother of Jesus. But this is the first time I've ever preached on Eve as a mother. Now, this doesn't mean that I've never preached on Eve before, because, however, my focus wasn't on her as a mother. In fact, during my research of this lesson here, I've learned that most of the writings done on Eve is all about her disobedience and her sin against God. And that makes sense because, I mean, that's really, you know, I mean, let's face it, that's the story that we know best about Eve, isn't it? You know, how she, you know, one day was deceived by Satan and ruined things for mankind. And I think that is really a shame if that's all we know about Eve, because there is so much to learn from her being the first mother of mankind. And so if you're taking notes, I want us to begin here with point number one in your notes. Point number one is that Eve brought completeness to God's creation, okay? Eve brought completeness to God's creation. Eve was a perfect woman. She was a perfect woman. I mean, she had to be. She was specially created from the rib of Adam to be exactly what he needed. In fact, in Genesis chapter 2, verse 18, the passage that Ben just referred to, it says, "The Lord God said, it is not good," say that with me, "not good." It is what? "Not good for man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him." Now, the very reason Eve was created by God was because in all of God's creation, there was only one thing that was not good. Because throughout the first chapter of Genesis, it is repeated over and over, God declaring this was good and that was good and this was good. But the only time in all of his creation account here where God says something is not good is when it came to creating the very first woman. It was like his creation of Eve completed God's perfect masterpiece as he put all the pieces together in the universe. And really, what we have to understand about that is that after it was all done, God looked over his completed creation and tells us in Genesis 1, verse 33, he says he looked over that and saw that it was very good. It was what? Very good. It was not good for man to be alone. After woman was created, God said, it is very good. Very good. Furthermore, Adam and Eve's marriage before the fall is a perfect example of what God wants marriage to be even today. When asked about divorce, Jesus said in Matthew 19, verses 4 through 6, he said, "Haven't you read that at the beginning the Creator made them male and female? And said, for this reason a man will leave his father and mother and will be united with his wife, and the two will become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but they're one. Therefore, what God has joined together, let man not separate." So despite their disobedience, Adam and Eve's marriage to one another as a husband and wife is a model for husbands and wives today. It is the model that we choose today, that we are to be one. A husband and wife are not two. We are what? We are one, aren't we? We are one. So despite their disobedience, this is what took place there. And understand that this is the model that we face today or that we follow today. But was Eve the perfect mother? Well, no. She wasn't perfect, but she wasn't all that bad either. I want you to bear in mind that she didn't have a mother to learn from. Everything that she did as a mom, she had to learn from scratch. She couldn't compare her child-bearing methods to a good mom or a bad mom because she was it. She was it. And there's no denying the facts that Eve and Adam were not perfect parents, okay? They just weren't. They were not perfect parents. Again, are there any perfect parents here? No, there are no such thing. There are no perfect parents. In fact, when it came to their very first child, they blew it. I mean, Cain was a horrible kid. In fact, I want you to listen to what the Bible says about Cain. Okay? Genesis chapter 4. And I want us to look here, beginning with verse 1. Listen to what it says. It says, Adam lay with his wife, Eve, and she became pregnant and gave birth to Cain. She said, with the help of the Lord, I have brought forth man. Later, she gave birth to his brother Abel. Now, Abel kept flocks, and Cain worked the soil. In the course of time, Cain brought some of the fruits of the soil as an offering to the Lord. But Abel brought fat portions from some of the firstborn of his flock. The Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering, but on Cain and his offering, he did not look with favor. So Cain was very angry, and his face was very downcast. He was depressed and despondent. But then the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? Why is your face downcast? If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? This is what God says of Cain. If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must master it. So Cain said to his brother Abel, hey, let's go out to the field. And while they were in the field, Cain attacked his brother Abel and killed him. And then the Lord said to Cain, where is your brother Abel? I don't know, he replied. Am I my brother's keeper? Now, Cain didn't offer the proper sacrifice that God wanted. In fact, it says here that he offered some of the fruits of the soil. Not the best, okay? Not the best of his crops. And we know that he couldn't control his temper, that he blamed his brother for his failures, or worst of all, out of jealousy and envy, you know, he killed his brother and he tried to cover up. So Cain was simply a loser, okay? He was a loser. But by contrast, Abel was a great son. In fact, the New Testament talks about Abel in Hebrews chapter 11 as the Hebrew writer talks about people of faith. Listen to what he says, Hebrews 11 verse 4. The writer says, by faith, Abel offered God a better sacrifice than Cain did. By faith, he was commended as a righteous man when God spoke well of his offerings. And by faith, he still speaks even though he is dead. So Abel was a man who sought to please God, and God said, man, look at his faith. Look at his faith. And his faith even speaks today. And then there was Seth, Eve's and Adam's third son. Now, we don't know a lot about Seth, but what we do know is found in Genesis chapter 4, verse 26. Because in Genesis 4, 26 tells us that Seth also had a son, and he named him Enosh. At that time, listen to what he says, at that time people began to call upon the name of the Lord. Now, so there was something about Seth that kind of generated an environment where people were driven to call on the name of the Lord. And what does it say prior to that? They weren't. But now through Seth, they're calling upon the name of the Lord. So my point is this, although Eve's first son was a loser, okay, her other boys were pretty good kids. And Abel and Seth would have been made any mother proud, okay? But secondly, Eve was created to be a helper or a partner to her husband, okay? Eve was created to be a helper or partner to her husband. I want you to understand that God never intended for the wife to take over the responsibilities of her husband. That has never, ever been his intention. And nor did God intend for a mother to rear the children by herself. That was not God's intention. And being a mom is hard work. Can we get some amen out there, ladies? Okay. Being a mom is hard work. And even more so when dad shirks his responsibility in training and disciplining the children. And one of the sad truths of our society is that men often do not step up like they should. That's just the truth. Today, in our culture, men do not step up. Fathers do not step up like they should. In fact, studies have shown that the root cause in neighborhoods marked with a high degree of juvenile delinquency and crime is the absence of fathers in the home. I mean, a good father is the kind who is there to help his wife, to help rear the children, to be a good father and back up his wife and vice versa. I mean, he is there as, you know, to help that home to be solid and secure, to be a solid, secure home for the kids. That's what a father does. I can't even begin. I've been a minister now for over four decades. And I can't even begin to name all the mothers that I have known over the years of my ministry that were the one who was solely responsible in seeing to it that their children know the Lord. Those mothers, they were the ones who made sure their children knew the Lord. And these young mothers would come to church every time the door was open, laboriously carrying their babies and diaper bags and all the other stuff, you know, while at the same time trying to corral their toddlers. And it was tough on them, but they knew their husbands wouldn't do it. And they knew that it fell upon them to make sure that their children know who Jesus Christ is so that one day they can be in heaven with them. That's the way we see so often, even, you know, today, and has been that way for, you know, for decades now, as we see mothers being the ones to make sure their children know who Jesus Christ is. There are too many fathers out there who leave the training and discipline of the children to their wives. You know, just don't bother me with it. You know, you take care of it, you know. Pastor and author, the late Adrian Rogers, wrote in his book, What Every Christian Ought to Know, about a preacher friend of his whose 13-year-old son was disrespectful to his mother. And later that evening, when the father came home from the church, came home from work, he sat his son down for a little talk. Son, I'm going to tell you something. When you talk bad to your mother today, talk back to her, you sinned against God. God's word says that you are to honor your mother, and you're going to have to answer to God for that. And not only that, but you sinned against your mother. Son, you know the story of how your mother almost died giving you life, and you treat her like that? I mean, how ungrateful you've been to speak to your mother as you have, and you're going to have to answer to your mom for that. But I'm going to tell you something else. Not only is she your mother, she's my wife. And I am not going to allow you to talk to my wife like that. Now, you go in there to tell your mom that you are deeply sorry for being so rude to her and beg for her forgiveness. Regarding the need to discipline children, Solomon writes this in Proverbs 29, verse 15. He said, "The rod of correction imparts wisdom, but a child left to himself disgraces his mother." Okay? So I want you to keep in mind about Cain and Abel, because they were born with free will, just as you know, Adam and Eve were created with free will. And with free will always comes the freedom to choose right or wrong. Cain chose evil over good, even as his mom and dad chose disobedience over obedience. Now, the Garden of Eden was a perfect home for the perfect couple. It was a true paradise. Eden is often referred to as paradise. Now, we really don't know how long Adam and Eve were in the garden. I think sometimes we have a tendency to believe that God created man on the sixth day, he rested on the seventh, and they sinned on the eighth. Okay, that's kind of where we think what happened in that Bible story, okay? Because it does happen one after another in the Bible story. But again, we really don't know how long they were in the garden. It could have been for centuries. or even longer. We don't know. But regardless of how long it was, everything was running smoothly until one day Eve started listening to a new friend. Look at Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden? Did God really say that?" The woman said to the serpent, we may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it or you will die." "You will not surely die," the serpent said to the woman. "For God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like him, knowing good and evil." Be like God. When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. So now Satan, in the form of a serpent, started filling Eve with lies about what she was missing out on life. I mean, that's how Satan works, isn't it? Man, you're just missing out on life. Just go ahead and do that. Go ahead and say that. Go ahead and life is going to be so much better. I mean, he's telling her that, man, God has just simply robbed you of the ability to be like him, knowing good and evil. I mean, don't you want to know the difference between good and evil? Satan would say, as he is tempting her. And all she had to do to be like God was to disobey him. She can be like God if she disobeyed him and eat of the one tree that God told them not to touch or eat from this massive garden that was there for them to enjoy. They could have any other fruit from any other tree in the garden except the one tree in the middle of the garden. And so Eve took the fruit and gave some to her husband. Listen now, where was Adam at this time? He was standing right there with her. So she takes the fruit, gives some to her husband who was standing right there listening and watching the whole thing, and both of them bit into the devil's lie. Both of them did. Eve and Adam ignored God and lost big time. They lost their home, you know, the paradise that God created just for them. They lost their closeness with each other as husband and wife, the perfect couple. They lost that closeness. And most importantly, they lost the special relationship that they had with God, who walked with them in the garden. And because Eve was deceived by the serpent and Adam didn't man up, you notice what happens there? Adam did not man up and protect his wife, but merely watched the whole thing and joined in. Sin entered the world. And their sin impacted not only their children's lives, but our lives even today. In fact, that's why it is so imperative for moms and dads to be the best role model they possibly can for their children, and later before their grandchildren. Mom and dads, we've got to let our children see Jesus in us. Amen? They need to see Jesus in us. Our sins as parents negatively impact our children more than we'll ever know. More than we will ever know. But did you know that even after Eve and Adam disobeyed and sinned against God, that he still loved them? He still loved them. How do I know? Because God clothed them. I want you to look at Genesis 3, verse 21. It's a little verse. You've heard it before, but we miss it a lot. The Lord God made garments of skin for Adam and his wife and clothed them. Now that may not sound like a big deal. I mean, after all, they were naked, okay? But remember, they were naked before they sinned and they felt no shame. Genesis 2, verse 25. But now their sin has caused them to be ashamed, and they hid themselves from God. So what does God do? He covers their shame with garments of skin. Now, what that means is that an animal had to die and shed its blood to cover Adam's and Eve's nakedness. And this was God's first sacrifice to cover the sins of mankind. And in making this sacrifice, God made a way for Adam and Eve to be at peace with Him once more, to be comfortable in His presence, because after all, they were hiding from Him, and now they can now be in His presence. But God also at that time made known His plans to Adam and Eve, that He would send His Son to become the last and ultimate sacrifice for the sins of mankind. God says to Satan in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, He said, I will put enmity, hostility between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers. He, Jesus, will crush your head, and you will strike His heel. So by having Jesus nailed to the cross, Satan struck the heel of the Son of God. But through the means of His crucifixion and resurrection, Jesus was able to crush Satan's head, the fatal death blow. It was Jesus who hung upon the cross, but it was Satan who died. It was Satan who died. And then we read in Luke chapter 3, verse 39, It is through the lineage of Seth, Eve's and Adam's offspring, that Jesus was born to Mary. Let me ask you, this is Mother's Day, and we certainly wanted to honor our mothers today. But did you realize that in the Bible that God is also spoken of as a mother? It talks about God's love as a mother. How much He loves His children. How much He loves us. And so the question is, aren't you glad that we serve a merciful God? Man, if it wasn't for God's mercy, can you imagine what the world would be like without God's mercy? I mean, if it wasn't for God's mercy, this entire world would be in chaos, wouldn't it? I mean, if it wasn't for God's mercy, we don't need a church. We don't need a church. But because of God's mercy, we are forgiven of all of our sins because of God's mercy. And like Adam and Eve, Adam and Eve were given only one command. Don't eat of the tree, the fruit of the tree in the middle of the garden. One command. And they blew it. And they blew it. And today, and then you find the children of Israel were given 10 commandments, and they blew it. And then, we understand God's law and God's teachings, and we blow it. But God sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to this earth to live among us, to show us not only God's love, but to show us God's forgiveness, to show us that in Him we can live in paradise. And our paradise is our heavenly home. That's our paradise. Jesus sacrificed Jesus so that man could once again move into the garden, move into paradise, and live with our heavenly Father for all eternity. That's what He's done for us. We're going to be singing this invitation song, and during this invitation song, it's an opportunity for us to just look deep within our own hearts and our own souls and see what God is saying to us. Maybe an invitation is just to help us to remember that we are so deeply loved by God. We're so deeply loved by God that He gave up His only Son for us. We had here this morning, we had parents standing up here with their children that they are dedicating to God, making a promise that they're going to train their children to know Jesus, to know who He is, in hopes that they will give their lives to Jesus when they're old enough to truly understand what that commitment means. But there's not a single parent standing up here today who would sacrifice their child for anybody. They wouldn't do that. But God turns to us who sin against Him just over and over and over. And God says, listen, I'm going to give you my very best. I'm going to give you my son. And I'm going to let him die in your place so you can have eternal life. So you can move back into the garden, into paradise. That I've got a home for you. That's how much I love you and care for you. And so if you're here today, and if you haven't yet given your life to Jesus, come talk to me, will you please? Maybe, like all of us, there's a struggle in your life that you just need help from your church family. We are here to pray with you today. Maybe there's just some things going on in your life that just are difficult to bear. And you need your church family to surround you in prayer. We are here to help you today. As together we stand and we sing.